So Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 9 through 11 to start. God says this through Ezekiel. He says, "For indeed, I am for you. I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at the beginning. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." And praise God for that. Such a message of hope. So many things that God wants to do. And I believe that this is part of God's heart. His heart is to restore, and His heart is to renew. And I believe that we get a glimpse into a part of who He is. He is a God that restores. And He is a God that renews. He is a God that redeems. He is a God that takes care of things that are not right, and He restores them. He makes them right. And we see this throughout this whole chapter. It is a beautiful chapter. These are some of the things He says He wants to do. He is a God, and you know, He is the same yesterday, and He is the same today, and He is the same forever. So the God that was back here talking to Ezekiel and talking to Israel is the same God that we serve. It is in His heart to do these same things in our day and age. This is why it's in the Bible for us, so that we get to see and we get to believe and we get to have faith and we get to have hope in who God is, because He's so wonderful and He cares for us so much. He says, "I want to till you and I want to sow you again. I want you to be inhabited again. I want to build what is broken. I want to build the ruins." And He said, "I want to make you better than what you were in the beginning." He says, "I want to restore children to you. I want to restore that younger generation to you." He says, "I want to do all of these things." And this is Israel that they weren't even necessarily in a good state at the time. And this is when God sees them. And the beauty of what God does is that He sees. He sees what's going on. He sees the condition that we are in. He sees the condition of our individual lives. He sees the condition of the churches. Not only our church, but the church in general. He sees that there might be things wrong. And He says, "I'm a God that can restore all those things." And this is what's in His heart: to restore our lives, restore our church, restore the churches that glorify His name. This is the God that we serve. He sees us while we are in this state. And one of the wonderful things about God is that He sees us in the weakened and broken state, and He doesn't give up on us. He says, "I can restore that. I can restore that," is God's message. "I'm with you." He says, "I'm with you even in your broken state. Even when you might not be in the top of your game. Even when there might be things wrong in your lives." You could apply this to your life. You could apply this to the church. You could apply this all over. God takes weak and broken people and He restores them. Remember, the Word of God tells us that a dimly lit candle He won't snuff out. A bruised reed He won't break. What that means is, even if there's even if we're almost out, even if there's almost no more fuel to the fire, even if you're at your last drop, your last ounce of energy, He won't snuff you out. Where man says it's not worth it, God says, "I see value." Where man says, "I don't want to deal with it." We replace things so often, right? Phones are now replaceable like every year or 2 years. And people think, 2 years is way too long to replace my phone. We get rid of everything. But God says, no, I could restore it. I could replace it. I could make it better again. Because that's the God we serve. That is part of who He is. A redeeming God. A restoring God. A God that there's always hope in. But He tells us He's not blind to our current state. He tells them, I see that your cities are uninhabited, and I see that there are ruins among you. And He picks this up in verse number 33 of that same chapter, and we're going to read a few verses in Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 33. It says this, Thus says the Lord God, On the day that I will cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, The land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Amen to that. Amen to that. God says, whatever is broken, I can rebuild it. Whatever might be in a state of ruin, I can rebuild it. And what is because I've thought about this for so long, I think, what is a ruin? We have ruins in our world, right? People go visit them. But basically something becomes a ruin because it's not maintained over time. Maybe something has happened to it. Maybe something bad has happened to it from outside or external forces. But basically it hasn't been maintained over time. It's been let go. There's not been the normal maintenance that's required. And over time, it becomes a ruin. And this happens in our lives, and this happens in churches. This happens everywhere. Think about it, for instance. A life doesn't get ruined necessarily in one day. It could, but most of the time, it's one decision here, followed by one decision there, followed by another decision. And over time, what might be a walk that is straight and on the right path, it veers a little bit today, and then it veers a little bit a week from now, and then it veers a little bit a month from now, and then a little bit more a year from now, and the path that was here once is now way off on this side. That's the way it works. The devil knows that's the way it works, so he wants to get us one decision at a time to move a little bit off. Do you know that have you ever been in a car where you take your eyes off the road for just a minute and maybe the wheel turns just ever so slightly? Well, if you don't correct that ever so slight turn, within a mile you might be on the shoulder. Because that's all it takes. Is a little bit today and a little bit for a second. And maybe it lacks a judgment here and all of a sudden you're in another lane. And this is how ruins get developed. Ruins didn't come in one day for the most part. They come over time. They come because nothing has... We think, well, it's okay. I could do that. We could do that. The church can do that. And it'll be all right. We don't have to correct that. We don't have to maintain that. We don't have to address that. And then things go in decay. And this is how ruins are developed. And then all of a sudden, they become in so much decay that people stop inhabiting them. Because no one wants to live in a ruin. And so God knows that the cities that were once nice and good and built up and they were fortified and they were inhabited, now He knows that they don't have people. And they are in need of repair. And sometimes this happens in our lives. We know, we might know people.
people that have gone this way. They didn't start out. They didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go astray. But they make one decision and then another decision. They become more comfortable in those decisions. Then they make another one and all of a sudden they're way off.
And they didn't even realize it.
They didn't even realize it was happening. But it happens. Right? You've all heard the
story. If you've gone to any management class, you always hear the story about the frog in the pot of water.
Right? Do I even need to tell you that one again?
The frog. Well, I'm going to.
And so, there's the frog, and if you put it in the water, and you turn up the heat, and you turn it up ever so slowly,
the frog does not realize that the water is reaching a boiling point.
And so, because it increases ever so slightly, the frog will eventually die and not know it, because he can't discern one degree from the next degree, from the next degree, from the next degree.
This is the way things happen in our lives as well. We make one bad decision and all of a sudden it feels okay. And then we make another one and that feels okay too. And then we make another one and we feel that's okay. And all of a sudden the water's boiling. And ruins are developed. And ruins are developed. And God sees all of that. And he says, I could repair it. He says, I could repair those ruins. I know how to take care of that. That should be no problem for me. What men think are impossible? I could do it. God says, I know a way to do it. You might not see how it can be done, but I know how it can be done. He says, I'll take care of it. And that's what he does. You see, ruins, they are an attraction.
Because people still go visit ruins. But what do they do there? They always talk about the past. No one ever talks about the future of a ruin. They always talk about the past. The good old days.
When things were good. When everything was built up.
That's what ruins remind us of. They remind us of when things were good. They don't remind us of how
the future looks bright. They always take us to the past.
It's a good way of telling you if something is in that state, if it's more pleasant to look backwards than it is to look at the current. If it's more pleasant to look backwards than it is to look at the future.
If this is the state that we're in, then maybe we're part of something that's in decay. And something that God needs to change. Something that needs a little maintenance, that needs a little tender, loving care that goes along with it. And he tells us in verse 35, he tells us that I will make what's desolate, I will make it a garden of Eden. Isn't that a beautiful statement? I'll make what's desolate a garden of Eden. It's a great thing when you think about the garden of Eden. It was pristine.
It was where life began. It was full of life. Free from outside
taintings. He said, I will make what's desolate, what looks impossible to change, I will make it a garden of Eden.
It's such a beautiful statement.
I will give it life. The Garden of Eden had everything that was needed for life and sustaining life.
It had food in it. It had nourishment in it.
It had beauty in it. And it had the presence of God in it as well.
I will make what's desolate like a garden of Eden.
This is God's heart in restoring broken items. It's God's heart to make what's broken restore. And he doesn't just fix it up and put it on a shelf somewhere. He said, no, I'm going to make it like a showpiece. He says in one of the verses that it's desolate to all that walk by. That also hits home with me because I've talked to so many people who have come in and out of this church, and many times I hear people say, "Oh, we didn't even know you were open. We didn't even know you had services." And I thought, "Well, how can you not know we have services? We see cars here on Sunday morning." But the problem is, if you don't go to church, you usually don't go out on Sunday morning. You're usually in bed, sleeping, or doing something, or having coffee, or reading a paper. I don't know if anyone reads papers anymore. But you don't go out on Sunday morning, and then if you pass by any other time during the week, we're almost never here. And so the impression is, who knows? I never see anybody there. I never see anybody here. It looks like it's desolate to me, to all those who pass by. And God says, "Well, I could change that. I know how to change that. I know how to make a desolate place like a garden of Eden." Amen. Amen. He knows how to do that. He knows how to do it. And when I think about it, it's like our lives, our church's lives, are like God's restoration project. We are like the do-it-yourself project for God. He says, "I can restore that." Right? We've seen those old car shows where guys will restore an old car or
an old house. They'll restore an old house, and they
at first, when you first see it, you think, "Oh my, did anything good come out of that?" And you know, "Oh wow, that car is too far gone, or that house is too far gone." And then over time, you follow them week by week, and all of a sudden you say, "Oh yeah, I can start to see it. I can see it. It looks good. It's nice." But at first you don't see. It doesn't look like anything good could come of it. But God sees the value, and God sees the worth, and God knows how to restore, and we are His restoration project. That's what this tells me. That's what this tells me. That God knows how to restore. God knows how to redeem. God knows how to inhabit the places in. God knows how to bring back youth. God knows how to till the land. God knows how to do it.
It's almost like we see a weekly episode of these shows where
do you remember when I was young, there was a show called This Old House. There was some guy that looked a little boring to me, but anyway, there was some interest. I don't know if it's just a guy thing. I don't even work with tools, but I was interested in the show. And this week he would do the floors, and then next week he would do the electric, and then next week he would do the bathroom, and then next week he would do. This is what God is saying.
And then I know how to bring back the youth. I know how to inhabit the place. I know how to restore this. I know how to restore that. It's God's plan. It's God's restoration plan. And He knows how to bring it to pass. And verse 22, this is a new one. Verse 22 of the same chapter, it says this: "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nation wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes."
God says, "I'll take care of things. When you hallow me," hallow means to esteem as holy. When you
can hallow me, then I can do, or I will do the rest.
Because God doesn't need us to do anything. He can do whatever He wants. But He says, when you hallow me, when you set me aside as holy, when you let the world know that I'm holy, then I'll do this.
He doesn't do this in a vacuum. He doesn't do this in a state all by. It is a cooperative effort. Although He does all of the heavy lifting,
He does everything that's difficult, everything that's impossible for man, God does it, but he wants our cooperation with him. He says, when I am hallowed, then I will do this. And I'm doing this not because you deserve it, it's because of my grace. It's because his name's sake. It's because he deserves it. It's because he wants his name glorified. It's because his name should be magnified across the earth. And so he says, I'll do this, but it's for me. It's because my name should be glorified. And the amazing thing about, one of the amazing things about God is that temporarily he doesn't seem to mind that his name is brought low. I know that might be a strange statement to you. He doesn't seem to mind that his name is brought low for a time. Remember Jesus' life? He was crucified. It looked like a total defeat. And you could go through so many of the lives of people in the Bible where it looks like they were defeated. The Israelites in captivity for 400 years. It looks like they were defeated. But it was just temporary because God had a restoration plan. God had a plan to build them up. God had a plan to give them a land again. God had a plan to bring them together. He even says, I see that they were scattered, and we know that so many people around us have been scattered all over the place. And God says, I can bring them back. I know how to bring them back. Maybe they're good where they're at, but I can bring those who are needed back. He says, and it's in one of these verses, I could bring back the scattered. I could bring back the scattered. Because God knows how to do that. God knows how to work in his people. We're going to keep reading because there's so many good verses. This is verse 24. It says, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of the countries. There's that scattering. Bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine on you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never bear the reproach of famine among the nations. You see, over and over, if you look at that, it keeps saying, I will. God keeps saying, I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. I will do that. I'll bring them back. I will increase. I'll multiply. I'll take away. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. I'll put my spirit in you. I will. Over and over. God does the impossible when we're in a place where we will cooperate with him. He'll do all the difficult stuff. It's so encouraging to hear the heart of God. When we're in a place which says, yes, we want this. We want to be restored, but many people don't realize even because they're like that little frog wondering, aren't we okay? Isn't my life okay? Isn't my church okay? Isn't my family okay? If you don't ever realize you're not okay, you won't ever want to be restored. You'll think everything is fine. Don't need to rebuild the ruins if I think the ruins are okay. And so God tells us that he will do all of these things. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit in you. I will awaken the spirit of God in you. I'll give that to you. He'll do that. He says, I will multiply the fruit. I will no more famine.
Sometimes we get so used to famine conditions that we think it's normal. There was a little girl around 16 years old. She came and got saved at one of the preaching events that we were doing in the city.
And she came from a bad home.
And in that home, they didn't eat right. Ever. And so her diet was a steady diet of like Cheetos and cake. And so we went out one day, and we brought her along to a restaurant. And when we got there, we ordered whatever we ordered. And she said, well, I'm just going to have a piece of cake. I said, no, you can't just have a piece of cake. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to eat a piece of cake. It's lunchtime. I want cake.
And you see the little bags of chips that would accompany them. They would come to church, a little bag of Cheetos, a little bag of sunflower seeds. I don't know what was with sunflower seeds. Everybody in the city seemed to like sunflower seeds. They would throw them on the floor like it was some Texas Roadhouse. I don't know. And so no, you can't eat just cake and Cheetos.
But you see, the thing is that was normal for her. There was no substance, no sustenance, nothing good, no nutrients in it. But that was normal. Famine conditions were normal, and she didn't really want to even change it. And it took time to adjust to something that was more normal. It took time to get to a place where, okay, this is not right. Famine is not right.
God says, I'll multiply the fruits. He doesn't say, I'll multiply the cakes. He doesn't say, I'll multiply the Cheetos. He says, I'll multiply the fruits. Something that's good for you. That's what God says He will multiply. And He says that He'll do it just to make His name great again. And isn't that what we want? We want His name to be great. He tells us that He will make things better than at the beginning.
Better than at the beginning? The beginning was pretty good. God says, in my restoration plan, if you really want my restoration plan, I'll make it better than at the beginning. That sounds like God, right? In our minds, we think, well, if we could even get close to something, if we could even just make ourselves a couple of steps better, we'll be okay. But God says, no, I'm not okay with that. I want to be better than the beginning. I'll take you to a place that you can't even imagine. That's who God is. That is His restoration plan. I'll make you better than the beginning.
And many people can't see it. They struggle to see it, and this is where faith takes over.
You have to have faith that God wants to do it.
And this is why God puts it in His Word. Because it seems so hard to imagine that it could be done. And if it's in your life, God could do it. If it's in another area of your life, God can do it. He wants to change situation so that He might be honored, that He might be glorified, that He might be magnified, that He might show the world that He could do the impossible. This is what He's saying. He's saying, when I do all this, then the world will know. Because if it's something that looks possible to us, then the world will say, well, it could be that they did something good. And God says, I will do things that they can't give credit to man. They'll have to say, have to acknowledge that I did something, that I'm the one who made things better. And God says, I will restore, and I will rebuild, and the cities will be inhabited again. And the youth and the young, they will have young. They will bear children again. They will be fortified. They will be inhabited. They will not be desolate. They will be the Garden of Eden. There will be life. There will be energy. There will be nourishment. There will be no more famine.
This is God's plan of restoration. This is who God is. He is a God of hope. He is a God that can fulfill the dreams that are the wildest things out there. And the Bible tells us in multiple places he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's who God is. That's who God is. He's looking for a few people that can say, yes, I believe that. I trust in that. I'll hope in that. Because he's a God of hope. There is hope throughout this whole chapter because that's who God is. That's who God is. And he could do it for you, and he could do it for our church, he could do it for other churches, he could do it because he wants to do it, he's able to do it, and we believe he's able to do it, and we believe he wants to do it. His name be praised. His will be done in our lives, in our church. Amen.